The voice kept calling me Bruce. In my mind, that's not what I call myself.
What do you call yourself? Oh, yeah. I suppose you would. But that's my name now.
Tell that to my subconscious.
Oh my gosh, this is so great!
Welcome to The Pullbag. Join us as we dig out our latest comics and discuss them with the rotating panel of the GCRN crew. So sit back and enjoy this week's Pullbag.
Spoilers.
Hello and welcome to The Pullbag, episode 16. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me as always is...
DFG on Mike. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
That's good. We've had a...
It's been a while since I've been on the show.
Yeah, well, you work a lot. You've got a, you know, growing family that you need to cater to and whatever else, but... The other thing is I noticed that we're about a month and a half or so behind on the Bat books, and I kind of like it that way, because even though at the beginning of this show we would have had the Joker telling us about spoilers, right now we're, oh god, almost at the, we're pretty much the last week of May, and all of the Batman books proper have come out by now. We're going to stop here in the Pullbag, at least with the bad issues, even though it does tie in. We're not going to talk about Injustice. It hasn't come out as of this recording. By the time this is published, it would have already been out. Actually, I think issues 5 and 6 might have already been out. But I love reading that series, but it's just, it's not worth wait, you know, having to wait to have to do it. And I'm sure once that series concludes, we will, you know, you and I will do a whole overall on that eventually. But, yeah, we are here. We're talking Batman number 20s. It's a very interesting month.
Yeah, I would definitely say so, especially with some of the tie-ins that they did in a couple of comics.
Yeah, very, very interesting month. Loving where the main stories that I'm reading are going. Just every time I read one of these books, whether it's Batman, whether it's Batman and Robin, whether it's Nightwing or Batgirl, those are the main four out of the New 52 stuff that I read. Obviously, we've known for months now about 0 Year starting in issue 21 for Batman, but... you know, I'm just looking forward to, like, every time I finish reading one of those four titles, it's like, ooh, what are they going to do next? Ooh, what are they going to do next? At the same time, with Batman and Robin specifically, I have no interest in going backwards with that. Like, with Batman, the main Batman title, I'm going to go back and get Court and Night and City of Owls. I'm going to get all the, you know, those first stories. I'm going to get those eventually. But I have no interest in going backwards with Batman and Robin. I love what they're doing now with him teaming up with Red Robin, with Red Hood, which is what we'll talk about here. Next month, he'll be teaming up or versus Batgirl. So I love what they're doing with that, and I think that's cool and great. But I don't think I can go back and read those first issues. It's nothing against the writing or the art. Everybody knows I'm no fan of... Damian Wayne, so yeah, no, but I'm still loving that. I don't know what they're doing with, and we're gonna talk about Batman Beyond 16 at the end of the show today when we close out the show. But I don't know what they're doing with that title. I seem to think that they're separating it. Like originally, we reported that, and everybody knows this until I didn't know it at the time, but. Currently, Batman Beyond Unlimited comprises the three digital issues of Batman Beyond Unlimited, Justice League Beyond Unlimited, and Superman Beyond. I think they're going away from that, and Batman Beyond is going to be its own title, because I saw somewhere in DC's solicits that the book is getting a retitle.
Hmm.
It's going to be Batman Beyond something. I forget what it is. I'll have to look it up maybe by the end of the podcast. You know, I can, you know, find that for you guys and let you know. But I found it the other day, and I actually tweeted Kyle Higgins because he's going to be the new writer on the book in a couple months. And I never got a response from him, but that's fine. That's not that big of a deal. But I just thought it was interesting that they're going to retitle the book because I think they're making it its own individual book without having the other two stories in there. So, yeah. What else have you been reading before we get into the actual show proper?
I would say that, for the most part, just Batman... the Batman issues, the Detective Comics, I kind of unanimously with you decided I was done with Injustice. Not that I didn't like it. I just decided I didn't really want to spend the money anymore.
It's not that I'm done with it. It's for me, the decision was I'm done with it talking about it along with the other bad books in this section of the pull bag. As far as these themed episodes, I'm still reading it. I'm still enjoying it. I'm still going to write up my reviews of it, you know, of issues 5 and 6, like I did with 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. It's not that I'm done with it. It's just that I just don't feel as if it belongs here in the Bat books proper, even though it does have Batman in it. It's more about the League than it is an actual definitive Batman story.
And I definitely see that. That's...
Yeah.
But... All right. But in Beyond, I'm kind of hoping that they, like you said, make it a separate title.
I believe they are.
I'm not a fan of having the League in that at all.
Well, I will tell you right now, you're going to like Batman Beyond when it's collected in trade. Currently, the first trade came out was it earlier this month or late in April, something like that. Batman Beyond 10,000 Clowns. It's just the Bat Beyond books. And it's Batman Beyond 10,000 Clowns. The first trade for Batman Beyond Unlimited is the first 13 issues of the book. So it's very, very awesome. It's very fluid. It's not gonna be like when we talked about Batman 13 over on Batman Beyond 13 over on GCR, where I was like, wait, what are these other stories? What the hell is going on here? Why is this split up like this? So it's not like that in the trades, so thank God for that. I think today we're going to start off with Detective Comics, and we'll be back after this word from Batman.
All right, Scum Bucket. It's you, me, and 30 stories. You're going to tell me exactly what I want to know.
Well, first up tonight is Detective Comics 20. This issue was, of course, with the cover of Emperor Penguin, or O'Gilvy's is the villain that took over for Penguin. And he's some kind of a weird dark bluish purple with almost man-bat type of appearance. And he's putting the chokehold on Batman. I found it interesting that Batman's kind of gone up against him in this issue. And underestimated him.
Really?
Yeah, like majorly so. O'Gilvy comes up to him and ties a chain around his neck and just kind of lets him dangle from a tree. Which I found again to be kind of interesting that he was about to take down Batman that simply.
Mm-hmm.
When every other villain has tried all kinds of other things, and he just chokes him with a chain. So, after beating Batman's ass and hanging him that way, he goes back inside to let him to die, and Penguin comes by and Cobblepot and shoots the chain, breaking it. And Batman's basically saying to him, you know, thanks or whatever. He's like, I didn't do it for you. I did it so I can get my stuff back. And he needed Batman. So the two of them go basically up against Ogilvy in there. This issue, I thought was kind of an interesting twist. You see Cobblepot helping Batman for a minute, and Batman kind of, in a sense, doing the same. And Cobblepot ends up basically shooting him in the face. Ogilvy, I mean.
Wow.
Knowing that it wouldn't kill him anyway. And I just found it interesting. They go back into the entire origin of the character.
Right.
And it goes back to when he's like a kid and showing that his dad got, you know, in trouble for being involved with crime. And then he kind of learned what not to do and kind of rode coattails all the way to the top. And he just was happy that he got to the top. And he took down everybody so that he could gloat about it. And he pretty much, after getting shot by Penguin, ends up in jail where he's talking to the big crime boss there. And pretty much chokes the guy to death, kills him, and then he takes over as the head honcho in the jail.
Wow.
But, so they kind of left it hanging to where he can come back. But, yeah, he was kind of hopped up on some kind of a Man-Bat or Venom serum, which was kind of weird.
Interesting.
But Batman, he had a funny line in here. He's surprised when Penguin shoots Ogilvy in the face, and he's like, Cobblepot! Like surprised that he would do such a thing.
That's awesome.
But it was, I mean, again, it was kind of stupid because it was a point-blank shot right to the face. He should have been dead. Venom or no Venom, a point-blank shot in the face would have killed him. But, yeah, he gets sent to Blackgate and kills the other crime boss, and it's just kind of left it, you know, to wonder. But when they visited his childhood, it was also to the Monarch Theater around the same time that Wayne's parents were killed. So, I mean, again, they kind of tied him and kind of got him deeply in the Batman mythos. I don't know if he had a pre-New 52 existence, because I'm not too familiar with a lot of the pre-New 52, other than what I read in the early 90s, but I I'm not sure, but yeah, overall I would say it was a good issue. Had I think Batman driving the Tumbler in this one too.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So
that's always nice to see.
Yeah. So I mean, it's still got a little bit of a modern touch to it, but I thought it was kind of nice, you know, getting Cobblepot back in his throne as the Penguin, and then because I never really cared for the Ogilvy character, even though I knew what his thing was, which was to create unrest between everybody and kind of take out all the other mob bosses by pinning them on the Joker during that whole incident. So it's, I understood his reasoning for being there, but I was glad that he was gone or locked up for now.
Interesting.
So yeah,
very cool. All right, well, we're gonna hear from a certain claymation villain, and then we'll come back to talk about the next issue.
See, I figured out how to manage this thing pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And as if Ron Perlman's docile tones couldn't tell you what exactly we're talking about here, it is Batman number 20, part 2 of 2. The Dark Knight battles Bruce Wayne. How can you say that happens? Well, of course, it's Clayface. This is the conclusion to last month's story for Batman 19. This is pretty cool, actually. I really like this. I thought it was great. And I love that title page when you first open the book. DC Comics presents Batman in Nowhere Man, part 2 of 2. And it's basically Bruce Wayne slamming into a shattered bat signal.
Nice.
Yeah, very, very awesome. The only thing, I understand what Snyder's going for here. The only thing that kind of took me out of this issue is when, I don't mind if Clayface talks as other people, like if he talks as Lucius or if he talks as Bruce. What really threw me, though, was when he's talking like the Joker. It's over, Brucey. I just don't... It's not a slight against Snyder's writing. It really isn't, but it just... That just doesn't... It's too weird for me.
It's over, Brucey.
Yeah. Too weird. And then the... what I can only assume is some sort of Lamborghini... Clayface throws that at Bruce. This is basically Clayface versus Bruce. This third page here, you're looking at that big stinking pile of, you know, that page there where all the bat bots are around Bruce and Clayface. What I don't get is, at first, when I first read this, what I didn't get was, does Clayface know he's Batman? That's what I didn't understand. Obviously, later on in the issue, they basically write it away saying that Clayface thinks that Bruce and Batman are two different. They basically turn Batman into Bruce Wayne's bodyguard, essentially a la Iron Man type of storyline thing. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's cool, the fact that Clay... Because it's like, you know, how many people know Bruce Wayne is Batman? There are some continuities and some stories where... Jim Gordon knows, you know, everybody freaking knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman, so I honestly didn't mind that. What do you think of these first couple of pages?
I was kind of surprised at what was going on.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. Overall, I was surprised at the angle they were taking at the start, and then after I figured out what was going on, I was kind of like, oh,
yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of funny seeing Clayface as Bruce, and
yeah, I got grossed out to all hell when I think it's page 5 or so, and again, I would be able to tell you indefinitely that this is page 5 or not, but. Just like every other comic book that I get, DC doesn't number their pages. I get all kinds of creeped out when Clayface essentially puked Bruce up.
That was awesome.
It was awesome, but it's so disgusting. It's so
he's gross. Like, bleh. And he's like, well, he should be dead. He was unconscious for 7 minutes. You know, not breathing.
Yes. And then
Lucius goes to save him, and then they find out they're an impenetrable
garbage disposal.
Garbage chute, yeah. From yeah. Star Wars.
Yeah, I...
Trash
yeah.
compactors were going to kick in, and, you know, they're around a bunch of bat bots, and yep. Lucius is like, well, there is this prototype armor sitting down here. Bruce is like, you know, you could have brought that to my attention earlier.
And you threw this out, why? Because it'll be at least 20 years before the thing is cost-effective. But there are other reasons I'll fill you in sometime. I love seeing an early prototype of the Bat Beyond suit. That's just awesome.
Well, I think that was just epic. I mean, yeah, it was all metal and everything, which, you know, whatever. It was like an Iron Man, Batman Beyond suit.
Yeah.
But I still love the homage.
Yeah, no, it's so awesome. It's so cool. The funny thing is, on that same page, when he goes to turn to Lucius at the bottom right, the lines on the suit, on the facial thing, even in the main picture of the suit, it almost looks like he has a face of a cat. Like, it almost looks like the suit has whiskers. It doesn't, but just the way that the facial lines are drawn, just the way Coppola drew them, it almost makes me think it's a feline suit.
Welcome to the cat suit.
Yes, exactly. And then we have the police chasing Bruce Wayne on a motorcycle. Him basically saluting them as they all crash. I thought that was hilarious. Oh, man. And then we have an ad for Zero Year, and after that we have, oh, it's your stop, and it's basically Batman versus Bruce Wayne. What I love about this particular image here is that, see where it looks like it's blood coming out of Bruce's mouth? It's not, it's clay. I love how they worked around that. Like, normally you punch somebody hard enough in the mouth, or a metal fist from a Batman suit hits you in the mouth, you're gonna, you know, bleed.
Yeah.
I love that Capullo distinguished it as clay versus blood. I thought that was great.
Yeah, they simply did a nice touch with that. I mean, I just wish he would have got to use the suit longer.
Oh, I know it.
And he switches back to a generic suit later with a face mask cover.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm wearing rubber, like Batman and Robin. He's wearing, you know, a cover over his mouth, and
yeah. That Joker clay is just creepy as all hell.
Well, they're all creepy.
No, I know, but
I mean, especially the Joker one, because it's all twisted.
It's
pre-face rip.
Yeah. No, it's post-face rip, isn't it? That's after he ripped his... No, it is pre... Yeah, you're right.
Because Clayface never saw him with his face ripped.
Yeah, you're right.
Otherwise, I'm sure that would have been there.
Yeah, this... this whole suit within a suit thing, because he's actually... Batman is in his regular suit under the I don't get that. Okay, sure. You look at Iron Man. Iron Man had, at least in the first movie, he might have, or well, in Avengers, he had there were times where he had like a I don't want to say long johns on, but he had a kind of like a space suit, like a space uniform on.
Yeah.
When he put the armor on. I think it's strange and silly that Bruce has, the real Bruce, has a Batman suit on under the metal Batman armor. That's just weird. I understand why. Obviously, he's Batman. He's not supposed to find out that he's Batman, but that was just a little strange to me.
I'm Batman under Batman. Ta-da!
Yes. And they eventually trap Clayface with a cylinder. What the? I thought that was cool, though.
They tubed him.
Yeah, they really did tube him. Now, if Clayface just came back, how does he know about Damian?
It was broadcast across the news.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
because
that's
true. Everybody was like, oh, Bruce Wayne's son's been killed.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, Robin's been killed. It's like, hello. Put two and two together, people.
Yeah. Well, I love this whole panel here. You know, this whole page, this whole two-page spread of, lucky for us, Bruce Wayne is so paranoid. You mean you're so paranoid, Wayne? We all know your secret now. Which, again, begs me to think, does Clayface, does Carlo really know that they are one and the same?
Hard to say.
Yeah, because they kind of write around it. And again, it's not... I'm not saying it's bad writing on Snyder's part. It's far from it. But he kind of puts the question in your head whether he knows or doesn't know. And then, of course, Clayface just had to go for, you know... he's like the rest of you, he's like the rest, you know. Wayne doesn't care about anyone but himself, not his friends, not even his own damn son. And then, of course, that's going to set Bruce off to no end.
Yeah, that was kind of a messed up panel, but, you know, they don't care.
Very, very messed up panel.
He's like, oh, what, too soon?
Yeah, really. And then we have the end where it's Alfred and
Bruce sitting there with like hollow projectors over their eyes.
Well, it's basically VR kind of it's VR looking glasses. And then they're watching some old footage of he and Damian as Batman and Robin. And then next, 0 Year, the origin of Batman. I am so stoked for that. I tried reading this backup story, The Ghostlights Part 2 of 2. I tried going back and rereading the first part in issue 19, but I'm hoping with 0 Year, with next issue and issue 21, I'm hoping that I can get into the backstories there, because I'm assuming that the backstories with that, I think Snyder had said that they're going to kind of give you more info on what's going on during 0 Year, so I'm hoping I can get into them there. But overall, since I've been reading Batman from issue 13 to now, I've never gotten into the backstories.
Backstories of who?
The backup stories. The story at the end of this issue, that's after the Clayface story ends.
Yeah.
The backup story in the back of the book, Ghostlights.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of those.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Including the Channel 52 stuff, that's 11 pages. With ads, with ad pages. That's 11 pages of this book.
Wasted.
I don't think it's wasted. I think the backup stories, the secondary stories that come after the main tale, I think they have a place, but I think they need to be in their own book. Like
all the separate back, yeah. All the back ones should be in their own issue.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the way I think of them. So...
I'm kind of the same opinion there.
Yeah. Overall, what did you think of the conclusion to the Clayface story?
Not bad. I'm kind of... I'm glad that they left it plenty open.
Yeah.
And that it was an interesting take on him that, you know, there's no humanity left of him, basically. He's kind of just a man of clay.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a nice take. And playing the completely original card with him for the fact that he's mutated so many times that he doesn't even have a real persona.
Yeah.
So I definitely like that take on him. But again, that's not saying much because I like the rest of what they've been doing with all the new 52 reboot versions of all the characters.
Yeah, I've been, out of the ones that I'm reading, I'm loving the stories. And I think for me, as you said earlier, when you were talking about pre-New 52, you know some of it, but you don't know all of it. And I think that's the thing. Unless you're someone who grew up reading pre-New 52, Or unless you're someone that at some point jumped on when they did a reboot or a relaunch or of a certain title. It's like I always say, and I've said it many times in this podcast, I know we're 16 episodes in, people are probably tired of hearing me say this, but you know, you get an issue, for example, let's just say Batman number 900. So you mean I have to go back and read all 899 issues to catch up to what happens and not? You know what I mean? It's one of those things where why I love the New 52 so much is that, yes, sure, I haven't read the Court of Owls storyline stuff yet, but as I said before, I plan on doing it. But I love how they spread the stories out where, like, Death of the Family, the parade, Batman 13, was a perfect jumping on point for me. Yes, Court of Owls is still there, but, you know, Batman 13 was a whole new story involving the Joker. The same thing with Nightwing. You know, people that want to jump onto Nightwing don't necessarily have to go back and read the previous 18 issues. If they jumped on at issue 19, perfect jumping on point for that book. You know, so I like that fact, whereas it's not... And of course, granted, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10 years down the line, if DC is still doing, you know, the whole New 52 thing, which I assume they would be.
Well, it may depend because, again, the 900 issue storyline was actually issue 19 of the New 52 of Batman.
Right.
Which leads me to believe that they're still counting, but in keeping track just in case.
Oh, right. No, I know. But I'm saying, like, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the road, I hope they don't reboot again.
No.
Saying, hey, it's the New 53. You know, saying, hey, it's the DC Area 50. You know what I mean? It's right now, this is the only time they've ever rebooted their franchise. Granted, Batman and Green Lantern didn't get full on, you know, redo reboots, but. As a reader who is just coming into this stuff, or as, you know, getting people in, like, as new readers, I think with the format that they have now, where 0 year is supposed to be 11 issues, so 21 to I think it's 32 of Batman. Say 33, they do something completely different. Someone could jump on with issue 33. See what I'm saying? So where they should read the previous 32 issues, but they don't actually have to. Overall, I thought Batman 20 was absolutely amazing. I love the Bat Beyond homage. Now that you pointed out, I didn't realize it at first, but I do like and I do enjoy the Star Wars trash compactor thing. I thought that was cool. So, all right, we are going to move on to the next issue.
Oh, the fight hasn't started yet. I'm just stalling.
What the hell took you so long?
Shut up and fight.
Up next is Batman and the Red Hood. Yes, that's right. The Batman and Robin title is still going through all these characters. This is issue 20 of Batman and Robin. The cover is Batman with a shattered Red Hood mask. And the title of the story, or the title on the cover, is Shattered by Rage. You did not get a chance to pick this up, did you?
Actually, I think I did.
You don't even remember.
Oh. I can't remember when they all come out anymore.
Even though I tell him every single month, ladies and gentlemen.
It is true.
So, this one starts out with Bruce looking into something. He's asking the computer about man-made structures within a half-mile radius. And as he's doing this, Carrie Kelly shows up. And Bruce's line is, "I see your party's over. Can I help you? Tell me, did I do something wrong? What makes you say that? Damian drops off the face of the earth and you drop off an envelope filled with cash in my hand. That's what. I love this whole thing of the two of them going back and forth, and apparently the lessons that she was giving Damien
were acting.
Were acting and music lessons, which was so very interesting. I don't understand. What I don't understand about this book, and I, you know, don't get me wrong, Peter J. Tomasi is doing an amazing job in the writing. He is. I don't get why Bruce just doesn't tell her that Damien died. Like, she's still under this whole impression of, oh, Damien drops off the face of the earth, and he tells her he went, you know, across, you know, he's studying abroad for the next several years, seeing the world, doing things most 10-year-old boys only dream about. And then she retorts, Damien never mentioned it. But it's just one of those things where it's so interesting seeing her, if she is going to become the new Robin eventually.
Which I doubt.
Yeah,
they're just feeding her in there as fan service. Like, because, I mean, theoretically, she's about the age she would have become Robin in The Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
And Bruce is nowhere near his
older age.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, it's interesting. And what I really love, even though I like it and I don't like it, the next panel is a dog with a red collar. A black dog with a red collar comes up to Carrie, and Alfred goes, "Titus usually doesn't take to strangers very well." I'm sorry. The Bat Hound will always be Ace. I don't know why they named the dog Titus. No clue.
New continuity, they can do whatever the hell they want.
I know, but still, it would have been nice to have his name be Ace. So she leaves, and then we get Jason in the Batcave. And he and Batman go on an adventure, stopping these terrorists and whatever else. And basically, after this battle with these terrorists that Batman has tracked down, he and the Red Hood get into an argument because where he took them was pretty much
where he died.
Where he died, yeah.
And Batman's like, I need to figure out the mystery of your death.
So I can basically resurrect Damien.
And then Jason and him get in a fight.
Yeah, which is cool and interesting.
Because that was kind of a dick move on his part.
It very much so it was, yeah.
It's like saying, hey, you know, and Jason thought, hey, we're, you know, the old gang again. And then Bruce is like, no, we're just trying to figure out what happened to Damien, you know, how to fix Damien, and, you know, to hell with you. I'm using you.
Yeah, which was not a cool move at all. And, wait. The ending is... Wait a minute. That's not Two-Face, is it?
I don't think so.
It's supposed to be Bruce. Why is he flipping a coin? I'm going to go back to the page previously and find out why he's... Yeah. I'm taking the car. Goodbye, Bruce. And Jason basically steals the car, or absconds with the car. And then the next page is... Bruce and Alfred, I assume. Or it might be I don't know. Well, there's a gun in his hand, so...
It's probably Two-Face.
It almost has to be, but it's...
The other thing I don't particularly care for is that with a lot of these issues, I mean, I know that not all of them are going to get hit by the Zero Year.
Right.
But a lot of them are, and they're just leaving, you know, this plot line hanging, and they're like, ah, to hell with you people, we'll wait, get back with you in a year and a half.
Well, the next issue is Batgirl and Bargain, So, or in the bargain. So, I don't know. This last panel has me kind of stunned because this whole page, it doesn't even, like, the guy's face, it looks scarred, but it doesn't. Like, if you look at that top left panel where it's showing the right side of his face, and then the right panel, it's showing you the right side of the face, but at a different angle. And it's hiding it's always hiding the left side, and it kind of looks like a mangled left side. It could be Two-Face. I would assume it is. I don't know why Bruce would have a coin and a gun, so I assume it is Two-Face. But that's just strange that they leave the issue with Jason driving off, leaving Bruce in the middle of the desert, and then you cut to an image of Two-Face flipping his coin for the final page, and then at the bottom, obviously, it teases Batgirl being in issue 21. I don't know. That was really strange.
If you have insights on this, send it to feedback@geekcastradio.com.
Yes, we're talking about the last page of Batman and Red Hood, number 20, Batman and Robin, number 20, the very last page. Send your emails to feedback@geekcastradio.com. We're stumped, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to head to Chicago next. Yay!
There. Billy Marin. Alias Simon Dirks, Sid the Squid, Killer Coburn, Punky Lesh. But who is he really? Tony Zucco. Oh my word. Finally.
Up next, ladies and gentlemen, is Nightwing number 20, Blinded by the Prankster. Written by Kyle Higgins, art by Brett Booth. Additional art and cover by Norm Rapmund, I believe is how you say his name. This basically picks up where 19 left off. Nightwing's out in the city and doing his nightly thing, and it's daybreak. He's back home at his sublet apartment. And he takes off, you get a lot of monologue here. He takes off his Nightwing stuff and basically tosses it on the chair, gets into bed, and is going to go to sleep when a woman attacks him.
His new apprentice. I'm just joking. But it could be.
Whoever you are, if you're so much twit, I swear to God I'll bash your head in. Joey, wait. He's renting your room. I don't care if he's... Wait, what? This is Dick Grayson. He's subletting.
It's like, bitch, please, I'm trying to get some sleep.
So basically, the person he sublet from, Michael, the roommate, was supposed to be out of town for a month, but apparently she came back. We then cut to the Chicago Steelworks, where the police are investigating, I believe, a dead body. No, it's not. Oh, yeah, it is. Well, no, it's a half-dead body. It's some politician saying, help me, help me. And the title for this story is DC Comics Presents Nightwing in Flying Blind.
Holy I'm blind!
God. I love what Kyle is doing with the writing in this book. So you have more with the roommate. Dick gets a... Nightwing gets a text from Johnny Spade, who is his little informant, asking him if he's ready to play. And he goes out and deals with that and looking for the prankster. And then we get the sheriff and the mayor talking because the mayor wanted the sheriff to look into Tony Zucco, even though the mayor's driver is Tony Zucco, because they want to see if all reports are still saying that he was dead. And apparently Tony doesn't want to be called by his own name anymore. He's like, it'll be fine. You heard Racine. Even he couldn't find anything. You're still dead, Tony. And he says, I told you, stop calling me that. So we still don't know what's going on with Zucco yet. Obviously, Kyle's gonna keep writing and playing this out. But this whole issue after this is basically Nightwing searching for the prankster. And he does eventually meet up with the prankster, and boy, is it an awesome battle. It is so cool. There's a splash page on here where Nightwing crashes through the window, and it looks like it's electrified and whatever else, and the prankster goes, "Nightwing, I wondered when we'd meet. Though at the risk of sounding impolite, your timing sucks. What can I say? It's a gift." And then the next panel is, "Now then, this can end for one of two ways for you, prankster. Either you give up and we walk out of here together, or I drag you out by whatever those tail flaps are you're wearing."
Nice.
Oh, I love Dick Grayson as Nightwing. And actually, it's funny. As soon as I read this issue last month, when it first came out in May, as soon as I saw that page, I'm like, I need that. I have to find that. And that panel I cropped out. And that is my Facebook image, is basically Nightwing looking. The cropped image for Facebook is basically Nightwing's face. You don't see. If you're just looking at my profile, you'll see you'll just see the eye. If you click on the picture itself, obviously you'll see the full square. But it's basically just Nightwing's eye. So it's like every time I comment on a post, I'm watching you.
Nice.
So, no, it's... Oh, man, this issue is so awesome, and the writing is so good. It basically ends with the prankster capturing Nightwing in what looks to be a giant electro room, or it kind of looks like a scoreboard, like if a scoreboard was all clear glass. It looks kind of like that, and that's kind of where it ends. And it says, "Next issue, Nightwing and the prankster allies? ?" So it was very awesome. I can't say enough how much I'm enjoying Nightwing and what Kyle is writing with that, because it's so cool. It's almost like, because he's in Chicago now, it's almost like Nightwing and, you know, your whodunit murder mystery type of thing. That's the feeling I'm getting from the book.
He did it. Yes.
Yeah. It was him in the hallway with the wrench. It's that kind of stuff, because you get some emotional stuff from Dick, especially with the whole fighting the thing with the roommate. That was cool. I love how Kyle blends Dick's personal life and his superhero life. It's so cool and so awesome and very, very interesting to read. So with that, we're going to head back to Gotham and see what Batgirl's up to.
"So she smoked you."
"We put up a fight."
"And lost. I never thought I'd hear myself saying this, but where's the bat?"
"We're handling this."
And finally up today, in the main issues that we're going to talk about, is Batgirl number 20, The Ventriloquist. She gives voice to death. Don't get me wrong, I love Snyder's Batman, but I don't know how many times I can say it that, for me, Death of the Family was very anticlimactic. I enjoyed the Clayface story, but so far, reading Nightwing and Batgirl have been two of the best. I'm not saying they're better than the Batman book. They're not, but they're, you know, I'm, like, really invested in these two characters more so than I am in Batman, and it's so cool. This one starts out with Gotham Suburbs 9 years ago. And there's a birthday party, and there's this dark-haired girl who's frowning. Obviously, she's not the birthday girl. And this ventriloquist shows up, and he says, "Turn that frown upside down." And she... Oh, I didn't even notice that. Oh, wow. Okay. That's what happened. No, I... it shows on the first page, the ventriloquist tells her, "Come on, turn that frown upside down." And then the next bottom left panel is, "Turn my frown upside down." She's staring at the punch bowl, and from out of nowhere, she gets a bottle of weed killer. Guess where that went.
Where?
in the punch bowl. So she basically kills everybody at this party because they're making fun of her.
Hmm. And she turns them into all her personal puppets.
Well, she steals the puppet that the ventriloquist had. And then the parents come and pick her up, and she says, "Took you guys long enough. Sorry, honey, we didn't know you'd leave early. How was the party, Shauna? Did you have fun?" "I guess. All the girls got real sick for some reason."
Wow.
Yeah. And the mom goes, Are they going to be all right? "I don't know, I guess. I got this thing. His name is Ferdy." And that's what she named her doll. And she, the parents ask, "Is that juice on his face, darling?" "I don't know. I guess." Obviously, it's not juice, ladies and gentlemen. It's that red sticky stuff.
That's what she said.
And then we cut to Gotham City this morning, which is the current timeline, and Barbara Gordon is going into her psychologist, Dr. Andrea...
Scratch and sniff.
Late Mendy, a clinical psychologist. Now, it's very funny that how the psychologist is drawn and whatever else, because it looks just like someone I follow on Twitter, and she even mentions it, that, "Hey, I show up in Batgirl." So I thought that was really, really cool. But what I love about the Barbara Gordon Batgirl stuff is, as I mentioned last issue, with issue 19, where she all but revealed everything to her roommate Alyssa when Alyssa told her that Alyssa was a transsexual. I love how Barbara talks around the fact that and is able to tell people the stuff that's going on in her life without actually coming out and saying, "Hey, I'm Batgirl." And she kind of does this with the therapist. And I think that's just amazing writing, how Gail Simone is able to write that character and have her write around what's going on. Now, you kind of see what's going to happen. You kind of see what's going to happen in the upcoming issues, because she... I don't know if it's... I'm trying to see what it is. It's... I don't think it's the hand soap. It's some. She uses something. Barbara's using something on her costume where she's blackening out the yellow bat. So that's interesting, and that's going to lead places in the future issues.
Hmm.
We then cut to her monologuing and going out patrolling, and we then cut to Shauna auditioning for some American Idol-style show. And they just hate her. No, seriously. So how did your date go last night, Ferdy? "Oh, well, is it still a date if I'm paying cash?" She said we had to practice safe sex. She did? I said I wasn't so scared that she'd give me cooties as that I'd give her termites. This is my life, folks. Stop. That's enough. More than enough. Sweetie, I love your energy, but I just don't think this competition is for you. So basically, they're shutting her down. It's basically like an American Idol reject letter. One of the judges... there's three judges. There's a black man, there's a white woman, and another white male. The white male says, "And worst of all, darling, I could totally see your lips move. And if you look at my Batgirl review that I did last month on GeekCastRadio.com, I actually screen capped this picture." And then she goes, she's got her eyes shut, she's kind of sullen. And when he says that, she goes, "What did you just say to me?" She's all wide-eyed, she's grinning like a Joker grin type of thing. And the next thing you know, she goes crazy, and the dummy, she has control rods for the dummy, and apparently her dummy has little knives or screwdrivers in his fingers, and basically she kills the guy.
Oh, wow.
It's very, very deep and dark. But it's such good storytelling. The art in this is so well done as well. I love the art. Daniel Sampieri, I believe, is doing the art again. Very, very awesome. And of course, Batgirl comes up against this new ventriloquist, and they fight, and whatever else. And the ventriloquist, the doll. This is no Scarface, ladies and gentlemen. This is no Arnold Wesker. This is nothing like that. This is something completely different. The doll is completely a man as far as like, hey, Red, I kind of like you. Oh, the things I can do to you. You know, all this and all that. It's so, so very awesome. It's so very, very creepy. So Shauna kidnaps the white woman. She killed the black guy and the other white guy for the judges, and she kidnaps the white woman. And it ends with at the Gotham Aquarium. They're not finding the body. Your son, sir. They're basically, Commissioner Gordon is looking for the body of James Jr.
Who's not actually dead.
Well,
he's not.
He's
in another comic series now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
What series is he in?
It's I think it's like the Seven or something like that. It's some secret task force that Amanda Waller runs.
Oh,
she's got
okay.
A bunch of ex-cons, or either that, or he's in Suicide Squad or something. I don't know. He's in one of those type
other groups. Series.
Yeah,
okay.
one of those two that it's all villains.
Basically, the issue ends with it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. Batgirl is going to pay next. She's a Death Star. Ha ha, I see what they did there. But no, again, I loved reading all these issues this month. It was just absolutely awesome. Between Batgirl and Nightwing specifically, just amazing, amazing writing. Don't get me wrong, as I said before, Scott Snyder is doing amazing stuff with Batman, and as I said, I'm super stoked for what he's going to do with Zero Year. But I'm just more invested with the other two characters at this moment. It's like I've said before, for me, Batgirl and Nightwing are quote-unquote the everyman characters where you can kind of relate to them, whereas Batman is the legend, and it's kind of like that episode of BTAS, Legends of the Dark Knight, where everyone has a different opinion on what Batman is. And while I do love the character of Batman, I'm just, so far, while I love reading the stories that Snyder is doing, I'm just not... I enjoy it, but it's just, it's not hooking me. It's not that I don't enjoy it, that I won't buy the issues and read them. Obviously, I'm going to do that. And they're amazing stories, for the most part, but I'm more invested in the other two characters.
I myself am more into the regular Batman line, but that's just because that's my primary main character that I like.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear a couple of ads, and we'll come back to close the show and talk about one more book. We'll be back after this.
Hello, pop culture connoisseurs. Do you gain a dark sense of peace when the guilty are punished by a violent vigilante? If so, maybe you should get some therapy and then subscribe to Punisher Body Count, the net's best podcast concerning all things Frank Castle. I'm Dane Lamont. My co-host Jake Williams and I cover the good, the bad, and the hilarious on the Punisher comics, movies, and news. Do you like chummy co-host banter? We got that.
You need to get your fucking...
No, you need to fucking pay attention to the fucking movie.
You want kick-ass guest interviews? How about Mike Barron and Tom Jane?
No, I like a little bit of grit in my cigar.
You want carefully considered in-depth analysis?
I mean, yeah, just won Best Picture at the Oscars yesterday. I mean, it's no Terminator. It was
Good luck with that. Punisher Body Count, twice a month on Geekcast Radio.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast of your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good.
What about sports?
That sounds
good. Yeah, that's all right.
Well, Batsy, it's been a hoot, as always. But I really must run. May the floss be with you.
We are back, and before we close out the show, I thought I'd bring up Batman Beyond, number 16. The cover is Shriek, Batman, somebody else, looks like one of the Superman villains, and the Undercloud villain from Batman Beyond. Of course, it's written by Beechin, Archer, Ferdows, Caldwell, Kroll, Porter, and Livesay are the other artists on, or other staff on it. And it says, Shriek Strikes Back. And basically the Batman Beyond story is that it's Batman versus the Shriek. And then the underlying story is Max is being held captive by this Undercloud person. It's interesting. I'm going to have to wait until more of these get traded. Because I just, like, I'm glad the Batman Beyond story is front and center as far as, like, it's the first story you read and it's the only story you have to worry about. Because, like I said, the rest of it is Justice League and Superman. So, but it's cool. It's a good story. I think we're almost going to stop mentioning Batman Beyond until it does get traded further. I know at some point in the future, Steve and I will do an episode about the first trade, 10,000 Clowns. But I mean, at this point, even though it is the Batman mythos, I would rather do it in the all-encompassing way that we do trades here at the Pullbag than just constantly say every month, hey, I like the story, but it's still collected with the other. I'm basically repeating myself over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. Anything else you want to bring up before we close?
No, I think that's about it.
Yes, and I did find out I had to go back through my own tweets about, I don't know, half the month of May, and I did find out what the Batman Beyond thing is going to be retitled. Batman Beyond Universe number 1 comes out August 21st. It's when Kyle Higgins, Christos Gage, Kyle Higgins and Christos Gage are writing the first issue, and art is going to be by Tony Silas and Ivan Coelho. I believe that's how he says his name. The new series begins here with all new creative teams and all new adventure. Now a freshman at Gotham University, Terry McGinnis' role as Batman threatens his education and his life as a teenager. And when the mayor is murdered, Terry's life is thrown into even greater turmoil. Meanwhile, the Justice League must stop Superman when his powers rage out of control. So they are still going to be collecting them, but it's a new... It's the same book, it's just they're a new title and new numbering, so... Strange, but whatever. It'll work. I'm still going to read the story. I'll read whatever Kyle, as long as it has something to do with the Bat Family, I'll read whatever Kyle Higgins has to write. Because he's just that amazing of a writer, so. Yep, and as far as what's coming up next on the pullback, I'm not sure. You guys will just have to be surprised as to what we're doing in episode 17. Not sure exactly what it's going to be yet, but it'll be awesome like always.
Yes, it will.
So for now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Make your great escape into comics. We will catch you next time.
I give the punchlines around here. Got it?
You just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, GCRN's comic book review podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you were leaving the message for, and your name. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching GeekCast Radio Network. You can send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.